CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!
Welcome back to another edition of Through the Smoke, a Miami Hurricanes football and recruiting podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. David Lake joined, as always, by Gabby Urrutia. There was plenty of recruiting happenings taking place over the weekend with Miami opening spring football and having a junior day in conjunction with that. And also, Gabby and I went up to the Orlando area to check out the Under Armour camp, which featured a lot of players from kind of Tampa, Orlando, and North. Were some South Florida guys there, but it's good to get eyes on some of the top players that are necessarily out of the local area from a Miami perspective. So lots to get to here in this podcast. We'll keep it primarily recruiting-centric here in this podcast. And before we jump into things, let's get a quick word in here from our sponsors. The Star Horton Group is a real estate company that covers all of Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Born and raised in Miami, Star is committed to growing his clients' wealth and securing their futures. One of the top realtors in the state, Star knows the ins and outs of the market to make sure his clients get the best possible value when they sell or buy.
If you're looking to buy or sell, or know someone who is, call or text STAR directly at 561-573-4661. And here's the beauty. When you refer someone to STAR, he will donate $250 to the Miami Hurricanes Athletic Fund in your name upon the closing of the deal.
So to have a great real estate experience and help our Canes, call or text STAR today at 561-573-4661.
This episode is also brought to you by Midway Sports, your one-stop shop for all of your sporting good needs, located just 2 miles south of the University of Miami. This locally owned small business has everything you would need to gear up for every sport. Their stocked up men's, women's, and kids' selections has you and your family covered for all of your outdoor needs. Use promo code SMOKE15 for 15% off your online order at MidwaySports.com.
All right. Appreciate our sponsors as always. Their support means so much to us. Gabby, we're primarily going to talk recruiting here in this podcast, but I do think it's important to touch on one of the newsworthy developments that happened since our last full podcast. And that is Miami was able to promote Jason Taylor to defensive line coach. It's our understanding he is going to be running things on the defensive line. Joe Salavea is still one of Miami's 10 on-field assistants and is also still a defensive line coach. But that group is going to be led by Jason Taylor with Joe Salavea assisting. I know I'll just say this. I mean, obviously, this is a huge deal for Miami. This is about as positive as it could have played out for Miami. I think Jason Taylor is a star. I think it's a matter of time, but if he wants, right, if he wants to stick with this, because he can definitely do anything in life. But if he wants to stick with this coaching thing, I think it's a matter of time before he's a defensive coordinator at some level. And I think if he sticks with it, past that point, I think it's a matter of time before he's a head coach at some level. So this is a tremendous, tremendous hire for Miami for this 2023 season. I will say one thing I've learned, I guess, from this scenario specifically is it does show how you can never really assume anything in the coaching industry. I'll admit I assumed that because Jason Taylor interviewed with the Miami Dolphins to be, I believe, their outside linebackers coach in that defensive system. And again, as I mentioned, Taylor is a rising star in the coaching industry. I assumed that the Miami Dolphins would jump at that opportunity to hire him. That was not the case. And Miami was able to benefit from that misstep by the Dolphins. So Dolphins loss is Miami Hurricanes gain. And I think it's going to pay off big time, both on the field for Miami, of course, and on the recruiting trail. Because, you know, I think you can go into this some, Gabby, but I think it's fair to say, at least in my experiences, a lot of the former NFL guys, whether that's NFL coaches or NFL players that have to recruit at the college level, that's a tough thing for them to do because of, I don't even know if ego is the right way to put it, but just look, they're guys that have accomplished things at the highest level, and now they have to sweet talk 16, 17, 18-year-old young men. And that can be draining, I think, to people that have done this at the highest level. Jason Taylor, judging from what he participated in as a analyst last year, he embraces that recruiting process. He kind of jumps in with both feet and I think does a really nice job of relating to these young men. So I think it's going to pay off in that regard as well.
I definitely on board. I mean, just assume the Dolphins again would just hand them that outside linebackers coach job again. That didn't happen. And again, I think that's huge for Miami. I think Jason Taylor is, you know, same way as you. I think he's just an absolute rock star. And again, I also, you know, believe that this is just the beginning of his coaching career for as long as he wants to do it. And I mean, I really love this hire for just a number of reasons. I think Jason Taylor, you know, his resume, I think, is extremely easy to sell on recruits. You know, obviously some of these guys were really young when Jason Taylor was kind of wrapping up his career. But, you know, a lot of these guys also study the game and, you know, Jason Taylor's film is not hard to find. So I think if they get pointed in that direction, it'll be, you know, extremely enticing to play under a guy like Jason Taylor. And of course, knowing that he has a gold jacket and, you know, a mold up in Canton, you know, I think that's something that, again, I think it sort of just speaks for itself. And I do think he embraces this recruiting stuff. And I think that's where Miami is as a program right now. You know, again, in that talent acquisition phase where they need to just go out and get a bunch of elite dudes. I think the timing was great, David. We're going to talk about some of the kids that were down this weekend later on in the show. And, you know, again, I think Jason Taylor was a hit, you know, with these guys, you know, kind of coming in and, you know, getting to interact with him, all that stuff. And again, and he is fully bought in. And you mentioned that it can be at time, you know, difficult for some of these dudes who have kind of been told that they're the man their whole careers, had great NFL careers. And then you have to go to these unproven 16, 17 year olds. And again, you know, sweet talk them, try to get them into your program. But again, I think Jason Taylor embraces the process. I do think he's kind of in it for the long term in terms of just wanting to coach, wanting to do this. You know, would he have maybe taken an opportunity in the NFL? I mean, I do think he might have taken that leap if, you know, that Dolphins job was offered him. But, you know, like you said, that didn't happen. Mario Cristobal took advantage, was able to lock him up. And I think that this is, I think this is maybe one of the most noteworthy hires, you know, that Miami's made in some time. And yes, again, I think it's something that, you know, it's definitely going to benefit the program from a recruiting standpoint, from a developmental standpoint at the position, all those things. And again, I think Jason Taylor is a, you know, one of the absolute best, and, you know, definitely excited to have him in one of those roles. He's going to be someone that's going to be able to go on the road and recruit. And again, I think him taking this full-time assistant job, you know, means that he's kind of all in on this because, you know, it's probably going to come with him having to, you know, walk away from some of the other things that he does. Like, you know, I know he does some broadcast stuff for the Dolphins. It seems like it's just going to be about the Hurricanes. So I think that's really, really exciting when someone like Jason Taylor is, you know, 100%, you know, tunnel vision on one thing. I think he can accomplish, you know, great, great things. So really, really pumped about that. And I know it's going to have a really, you know, strong impact on the trail.
Yeah, I think pound for pound, this is probably the best hire Miami's made this offseason. Attention business owners, I'm going to say three words you've probably heard of by now. Employee retention credit. If you're a business owner with W-2 employees and you haven't explored this program, you need to schedule a call with our friends at Foreman Law Offices ASAP.
The employee retention credit can put thousands of dollars back into the hands of business owners. However, the rules are complex and have changed many times since the inception of the program. You need to have a qualified law firm with experience in the ERC. Evaluate this for your business. You won't owe them a dime until you get paid.
All you have to do is go to erclawyers.com and fill out the short questionnaire to schedule a call with their team. 2 minutes may be worth thousands of dollars for your business. Get it done today. erclawyers.com. Tell them TTS sent you for Through the Smoke. All right, let's jump into the junior days. Gabby, I asked you before we started recording, I said, give me five guys because a ton of guys visited. I don't know.
So many. Yeah.
100 guys visited.
Yep.
Probably 20 to 30 big timers visited, maybe even more than that. So I just wanted to simplify things, break it down. And I said, Gabby, give us five guys that the fans should know about that, you know, visited UM this weekend. So take this wherever you want to take it. One at a time. Let's have a dialogue. Go ahead.
Yeah. Let's go one at a time. I mean, let's start with, again, a position I think is of great need that I've expressed is a great need on this podcast and on the site, David. That's a, you know, defensive tackle, that interior defensive line. I think Miami got one of the absolute best in the country in Aiden Breland, 6'5", 290 pounder out of Mater Dei. And, you know, that's that powerhouse program in Southern California. Breland's the number 10 ranked defensive lineman in the country, according to 24/7 Sports, a top 100 talent. And David, just, you know, sizing him up, I'm not sure if you were able to get eyes on him. Looks just, you know, looks like a total dude, looks the way that you want one of those interior defensive linemen to look. And, you know, these guys spent a lot of time on campus Saturday, rushed the court with the Miami fans on Saturday night as they, you know, clinched clinched the regular season ACC championship. You know, there on the hardwood, that was a big game and a big part of the junior day that ended up lining up, you know, pretty perfectly with an opportunity for, you know, UM hoops to accomplish something great. And, you know, these guys were on hand for that. Then, you know, went back Sunday, spent a few hours on campus before flying back out to the West Coast. And, you know, I do think that Aiden Breland, you know, is one of these priority interior defensive line targets. I got to talk to him Sunday morning before the second portion of that visit. And he told me Mario Cristobal was the first coach to offer him while he was at Oregon. Aiden Breland was in the eighth grade. It might have been a camp at Oregon, the way that he made it sound. So, you know, he has a lot of respect for Mario Cristobal, for Joe Salavea, for kind of rolling the dice on him early. He was talking about how, how Mario Cristobal told him that it's been so, you know, fun to watch him, you know, physically mature. And I think that was something that might have hit him and be like, wow, you know, this guy really has been, you know, a part of my recruitment, a part of my process, a part of my really growth from the beginning. And I think the fact that Miami's done such a good job developing a relationship with him, and especially Mario Cristobal and Joe Salavea, it was important for him to get down here. So I do expect Miami to be a player in this recruitment long-term. And again, this is someone that they've had circled at or near the top of that interior defensive line board for some time. And again, I think it was a huge, huge deal that they were able to get him down.
Yeah, I'll admit I didn't notice him on Saturday at UM, but I, you know, watched his highlight, him being a guy from Southern California, just to familiarize with him as a player. And he's definitely looks like a top 50 guy in the country on tape. Quickness at his size and his length looks freaky on his highlight. One of those block shedding line of scrimmage monsters that can wreck a game. The thing that makes him special to me on his highlight is his closing speed for how big he is, whether he's chasing down running backs or quarterbacks as a pass rusher. I even think on tape now, I mean, I don't think this is ideal, but I think for how big he is, 6'5", 6'6", 290, I think he might even be able to play some defensive end in college. I think ideally he's a defensive tackle, but I think he's athletic enough to be an edge setting defensive end. You know, I guess the point is he's a guy that can be a multiple front type of defensive lineman. Yeah. You can move him around. So freak prospect. And obviously a big deal, get him on campus from all the way across the country. That speaks to the fact that Miami's definitely in this one in terms of a high profile recruitment. Who else should the fans know about?
Yeah. Last thing on Breland. I mean, let's just kind of going back to last cycle. Remember it was a similar, I'm not saying obviously it's going to play out the same, but remember, I mean, it was a similar kind of conversation about Jaden Wayne and Mario Cristobal being the first one to offer him, and how that relationship played out long-term. So again, just something, you know, to kind of keep in the back of our minds as we go through this recruiting process and Aiden Breland. I'm going to keep it in Southern Cal because I think that group was really, really strong. We'll probably highlight one more from the area, you know, during this segment. I'm going to roll with Brandon Baker, same high school, Matter Day, someone that Aiden Breland probably goes up against in practice every single day. Consensus number one offensive tackle in the country, both by 24/7 Sports and the composite. 24/7 Sports has him as the number 20 overall player, number two player in California, 6'5", 285 pounder. This is another situation where Miami's kind of been in the mix. Mario Cristobal and these guys recruited him at Oregon, coached his older brother, Gary Baker. I believe he was on the visit with Brandon Baker as well. And I really do think that this was one of the visits a visit where Miami moved the needle. Again, I do, you know, when these guys kind of come from, you know, far away, kind of come down, see it for themselves. You know, he was extremely impressed about, you know, with really how hands-on Mario Cristobal was with that offensive line. He was talking about how there's, you know, three or four hands-on offensive line coaches. And, you know, we know that to be the case with Mario Cristobal, who's very involved. Alex Mirabal, who's obviously the offensive line coach. Ed Pata, who's, again, very hands-on. And then Reggie Bain, who's a, you know, graduate assistant, who, again, is very, you know, involved in the recruiting process and, you know, the developmental part of it. Sat in on a offensive line meeting before that first spring practice on Saturday. You know, got to, you know, watch the way that they prepared for that and then watching it translate. And again, just how focused everyone was on that offensive line, I think was really something maybe an eye opener for Brandon Baker. And, I would expect him to eventually get back down to Miami. Again, he's another one who, you know, stormed the court, all that fun stuff, went back on Sunday to wrap up that visit. I mean, he tweeted out, I think, a couple times about how great of a time that he was having down here in Coral Gables. So I do think Brandon Baker, I think that's one that, this staff could zero in on nationally. And I think when they do that, they always got a shot, especially on that offensive line. And, he noticed Samson Akinlola, Francis Malagoa getting plenty of work out there as true freshmen. And I think, he knows he can come in and contribute and, you know, get a chance to play.
Yeah, I like him. From a watching his highlight again, with him being a Southern Cal guy, the thing that stands out is he definitely loves to pin and pull and bury people in the run game. I kind of view him as a right tackle slash probably ideally, like if we're projecting to professional football, like an athletic guard. But I think he's a big time prospect on the offensive line. And I think he's a guy that's continuing to get better and better, better year over year over year. So he's an exciting prospect too. And I'm sure, obviously, Miami's probably selling the chance for those two guys to come to the same school together. Having to make that cross-country trip to go to school helps when you know potentially your roommate, et cetera, et cetera. So I think those two are an intriguing combo for the Miami fans to know about here this cycle. Who else you want to highlight? Number three.
Yeah, we're going to keep it on the offensive line, but we're going to head up to the Northeast to Paramus Catholic. Offensive lineman Juan Minaya, 6'6", 315-pounder, currently unranked in the composite and by 24/7 Sports. I would expect that to change relatively soon. I mean, he's a mammoth of a human being. I mean, not pushing back on that 6'6" or that 315. You know, talking to him after, you know, watching practice on Saturday, he told me Miami's doing the best job of recruiting him. I mean, this is a guy whose name I've kind of heard win this 2024 offensive line class for probably about a year now. And again, you know, doesn't his offer sheet doesn't, you know, pop off the page. He doesn't have all like these massive, massive schools on him. But I think this is someone that Alex Mirabal, Mario Cristobal, Ed Pata, and those guys identified pretty early on in the process. And they've done a really, really good job of recruiting him. I think Florida's kind of catching on. It sounds like he's going to get to Florida later on this month. But, you know, right now, if I was, you know, if I was just lobbing, you know, an early crystal ball pick, I think Miami would probably be the favorite for Juan Minaya. And again, I think they want to stack some of these big bodies, and Juan Minaya definitely looks the part of what Mario Cristobal and these guys are looking for. So I'm, you know, pretty excited about him. I know they're pretty excited about him as well. So that's another one I wanted to highlight.
My take on his tape, he kind of reminds me of, like, from a highlight perspective, he reminds me of Frankie Tinelau, just being kind of a big, physical, nasty offensive lineman that cares about football. And you bet on those guys, because eventually they're going to figure it out. You know, they might not at this stage, might not be the most impressive from like a athleticism standpoint, but they care about the game and they're big. Can't teach that size. Would you push back on that comp?
My bad. I muted myself. I think that's, again, I feel like they're even similar in size. Like, I feel like looking at Frankie and looking at a guy like Juan, maybe Juan's maybe a little bit like maybe thicker or just like, okay, or something like that. But, you know, I do think that, I mean, I think that's a fair, you know, kind of, you know, just like
just if we're looking
exactly, you know, he's not someone that's going to walk into Miami and steal a starting job right away. But I think he's a guy, you know, maybe year three in the program. He's someone that I can definitely see making an impact. And I think they feel pretty similar.
All right. Number four guy, who would you highlight?
Yeah, let's go to the tight end position. Again, kind of going back out west. This staff is going to recruit nationally. They're looking for guys all over the country, and I guess, you know, really all over the place. Out of Orem, Utah, tight end Roger Salepaga. He's an 89, so on the cusp of four-star status. 6'4", 195 pounds. Definitely lean. Doesn't necessarily, if you see him walking around the facility, you'd probably assume, oh, that's a big wide receiver or something like that. And he's probably, you know, he probably should be considered a pass catching tight end. He's not a guy you're going to throw in line and expect to block for you. But I think they're really excited about his ball skills, David. If you popped on the tape, I'm sure you saw him like hurdle a guy on the sidelines. Yeah. You know, they think he's a big, big time athlete, and they think that he has plenty of room to fill out. And again, this is someone that they identified, offered in February, and have kind of gone full, you know, kind of all in on. You know, not saying he is the guy at tight end, but, you know, kind of talking around, it seems like he's in that core group of tight ends that they would like to kind of go after this cycle. And again, I mean, again, just talking to him, it seems like that these guys have done a really good job of kind of being, you know, just all in on him, just really good, just going in, doing a good job, steady communicating. And that's how an offer led to a visit so quickly. It seems like there's a connection to Joe Salavea in some way. I heard them. I don't know if they're messing around or not, but just kind of being around, you know, on that Saturday, they were talking about how Joe Salavea was like the dad's cousin. And maybe it was just, they were close, they were friends. They knew each other, right. Probably similar backgrounds. But again, there is, you know, some sort of family connection there. I believe Joe Salavea's family was hanging out with his parents and stuff like that. So again, I know that, you know, there is an in there for Miami. And again, I think, you know, as a pass catching tight end and someone, you maybe stash for a year, build him up. I definitely think he has some really, really promising traits. And again, someone they're pretty excited about.
How does his frame compare to, obviously not as long, but like just from a being thin standpoint, how does it compare to Jaleel Skinner a couple of years ago?
Yeah, well, of course, like you said, Jill Skinner was definitely longer. But, you know, I feel like, you know, I think they have maybe similar starting points in terms of just being a little thinner. I honestly think, I mean, Jill Skinner had that basketball background and all that stuff. I'm not sure if Sally Paga has that. But again, just kind of popping on the tape, I feel like you know, Roger Sally Paga may be further along as a pass catcher, as a natural pass catcher. Yeah, I think he has better ball skills than maybe Jaleel Skinner was at the same stage of the process. And, you know, Jaleel Skinner, I think you looked at him as a raw prospect, and it was easy to see why, you know, people were willing to roll the dice on him as one of the top tight ends in the country. I feel like, you know, this kid could have I think he has similar, you know, again, just the ball skills and all that stuff, I think maybe more advanced, but I don't think he's maybe as physically advanced as, you know, Jaleel Skinner ones in terms of like traits and projecting forward and all that.
Sala Paga is a contested catch monster. His highlight is fun.
Super fun.
I would expect, you know, look, these rankings, we're early in the process. It's all very fluid. I would expect he'll rise up the rankings when the evaluation process really gets rolling here, you know, by the end of the summer. On tape, he's a big-time tight ends prospect. All right. And the last guy you want to highlight that visited over the weekend, who would you go with?
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, let's stay on the West Coast, man. West Coast Canes. Linebacker Kingston Asa out of St. John Bosco. I think in 2022 was the best number one ranked high school program in the country. I think, you know, Kingston just checks all the boxes on, you know, what Miami's looking for in a linebacker. 6'3", 230 pounds. You know, again, top 10 ranked player at his position. Consensus top 100 prospect. You know, just again, see him. I don't know if you were able to get eyes on him, David. I think he looks really pretty for what a linebacker looks like. It sounds like Derek Nicholson has a really good relationship with him, Miami's new linebackers coach. And if, you know, if for those that follow recruiting, you know that a lot of St. John Bosco kids actually landed at Louisville. So, you know, that is a connection with that school. You know, again, that Nicholson would have that type of relationship. And it seems like Kingston is one of those guys that, you know, the program is all in on. This was someone that the program was all in on when Charlie Strong was here. I think it's a natural transition with Derek Nicholson already having that relationship. And, you know, again, I do think Miami's one of the players here in this recruitment. I mean, you always have to worry about, you know, the Oregons. He wants to go see Washington, who had a, you know, really good 2022 season. He wants to go see Texas, Notre Dame, those types. So Miami's gonna have plenty of national competition there, but again, I do think that this visit is one of those that, you know, maybe moves the needle a little bit of Miami's way. And I do like that, you know, again, from Charlie Strong to Derek Nicholson is a pretty seamless transition, if not, you know, a positive transition relationally. So you know, I really like Kingston Asa. You know, and I do think that getting him back down on campus was a really big deal.
Yeah, just big physical middle linebacker, plays with instincts on tape. You know, he's athletic, so don't get me wrong, but he won't necessarily blow you away with his athleticism on tape. But he's a man amongst boys from a body type perspective at the high school level, and he's in the right spots at the right time. And, you know, you're going to feel his presence in run support with the way he tackles and runs to the ball, which Miami needs to improve at the linebacker level here through talent acquisition. So before we take a break, Gabby, just big picture thoughts on the weekend. Do you think it was a successful recruiting weekend for Miami with the guys that showed up and the impression that Miami as a program made on those young men?
I definitely would consider it a success. Again, we highlighted five guys, but like you said, David, there were maybe, you know, 15 to 20 guys that they would consider, you know, let's say priority targets, or guys that, you know, they're really seriously evaluating and, you know, would potentially take in this class. So yeah, you know, overall, I do think it was a really good group. It was pretty light, maybe locally, because I think that, of course, a lot of those guys can kind of come in at any time, right? Whenever they feel like popping in, they can do it. But I think they did a good job of getting, you know, some notable national targets. Again, I think that Southern California group's really big. T.A. Cunningham is another top 247 defensive lineman that was with them. They had a top 50 overall quarterback in the 2025 class who was offered by Miami in that group as well. And then, Again, a bunch of other dudes, especially on the offensive and defensive line, that they really like. I feel like it was a big weekend, just kind of, again, checking in with some people around. I think everyone feels like it was a nice weekend where they, you know, were maybe even able to answer some questions that they had about guys physically and, you know, being able to take height and weight, eye test, all that stuff.
Yep.
It seems like a lot of guys that, maybe they really wanted to see or maybe had some question marks about, they left feeling pretty good about. So I think that's always a good opportunity for, these college staffers, because that is so important for them.
All right, let's take a quick break. And then on the other side, we will discuss some of our takes on the performance at the Under Armour Orlando camp and the recruiting buzz coming out of that camp as well.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, Gabby, we were up in Orlando on Sunday. I got some sun from the event. Looks like you did too.
I definitely did too. Oh, yeah.
I think just for this, in terms of the performance side of the camp, let's just have a discussion on five guys that we thought were the most impressive. Probably about, 200 guys participated. Oh, yeah. 200 to 250. Some guys were missing that we were hoping to see, but still a solid camp. And it's always good to learn about, Northern Florida's top prospects. So I'll give you the first crack. If you're the Gabby Urrutia top five, doesn't even have to go 5-1. It can just be five best. Who do you want to lead off with?
Yeah, I'm going to go Jason Zandamala. I think I said that wrong. I know Ivan's corrected me, but I have to roll with what's coming off my tongue. So Jason Zandamala, he's a center, a top 247 center out of a Clearwater Academy International. I believe he won the offensive line MVP honors and an invite to the Under Armour All-American game, which was very well deserved. I think he cemented, everything that, it's good when you go into these camps and, a prospect you really like or you thought was good kind of, confirms that. And I think Jason Zandamala, from a size standpoint, from a performance standpoint, athleticism, all that stuff, I think he checked every box. And I think you could see why there are plenty of programs who are fighting to make sure he is their center of the class. Miami, definitely one of them, trying to get him. So Jason Zandamala was one of the guys I definitely came away most impressed with.
Yeah, he was a guy that was on my list as well. Looks like your prototypical center prospect.
Yep.
6'3", carries his weight well, moves well. Where does Miami stand for him, would you say?
I think they're in there. I think the crystal ball is on Florida State right now. He had a teammate, Lucas Simmons, who signed with the Seminoles last cycle. They're very close. And, just talking to Zandamala, it's obvious, I think, that he has a lot of respect for Alex Atkins and, what those guys are doing up there. So I do think that, Miami's going to have to fight for him, but he does, speak very highly of Miami about needing to get down here and, wanting to give Miami a real look and stuff like that. So I do think right now I think it would be fair to, put him in that, maybe categorize him as a Florida State lean, but I don't think that this recruitment's close to being over. I think he's going to take some trips, out of state. Oklahoma was the one school he mentioned that he wanted to get to. But Miami's definitely going to fight for him because, had their center of the future in the last class and Connor Liu, he flips to Auburn. I think they feel like Zandamala is kind of a chance for them to make sure they get that position right for the foreseeable future after Matt Lee. So I think this is the guy that they really, really want. And again, I think, you know, obviously the situation in Miami could be pretty attractive.
For me, I will, for the next player, I'll stay on the offensive line and I'm going to go young. And I will go with Solomon Thomas out of Jacksonville Reigns. I think so. Jason Zandamala won the MVP. I think it's fair to do that in terms of he's a 2024, go with the older guy.
Yep.
But I think in one-on-one, Solomon was probably the best one. Would you push back on that?
I thought Solomon Thomas was awesome. I mean, I think he was, I thought he was great. I'm glad you brought him up because, you know, at tackle, he was definitely, you know, I think the best tackle there. And again, he's a 2025. So I definitely think that's saying something. So yeah, I mean, I think Solomon Thomas was one of the top performers, you know, of the camp overall and was definitely really impressed by him.
2025 offensive tackle. So long ways to go in terms of recruiting. Looks the part, you know, as an offensive tackle. I do think, though, Florida State got in there early. And they might be considered the team to beat at this early, early, early stage. But again, long way to go in that recruitment. Who would you highlight next?
Yeah, let's go with I'm going to go with Xavier Mincy. And again, this was someone that I really wanted to get eyes on coming into the camp because, you know, if you are on our website and you hit that top targets tab, Xavier Mincy's name is going to pop up. Pretty quickly with just maybe a couple scrolls. So I definitely wanted to get eyes on him. He's a big defensive back, 6'3", 190 pounds is what he's listed at. You know, definitely looked apart. I would say definitely, you know, more of a safety. So I thought he was moving around well out there. I believe he came down with an interception during one-on-ones, which is, you know, obviously good to see in that setting, especially for the fact that he's, you know, probably not really a corner. For him to kind of stick a guy and come down with the ball, I think is pretty impressive, especially at that size. And he's another one, if we're just talking, you know, his recruitment, it does seem like he plans on getting down to Miami here over the next few weeks. So if he does make it down, I think that's definitely going to be something notable because he's for sure one of the top defensive back guys on the board.
I'll stay at defensive back too for my next guy. And cornerback Kai Bates is intriguing to me from a body type perspective. I did have to dip as the one-on-ones were starting to get rolling. But he's a corner out of Orlando Edgewater, 6'1"-ish, 185, 190 pounds. So he carries his weight well. His film is very intriguing as well. He's kind of an off coverage corner, I would say. But he also makes plays at receiver. Someone told me, Gabby, I don't know if this is true, but we're going to say it on this podcast. Someone told me he had 6 interceptions during Orlando Edgewater's playoff run. So made plays on the big stage. I'm intrigued by him as a prospect.
Yeah, no, Kai Bates is definitely someone that could ascend his offer sheet. I think kind of backs that up. I mean, Alabama, Ohio State, amongst the schools that have kind of pulled the trigger here recently. So when those guys come calling, it definitely means something. And David, I probably wouldn't push back on that 6 interceptions because here on his athletic background, on his profile, Andrew Ivins wrote that he had 3 interceptions and 3 pass breakups against Tampa Bay Tech, which is a respectable, you know, a respectable program here in Florida. In a playoff game. So again, has a basketball background. That's really good. He's a converted wide receiver. Really good. And I was stealing this from Andrew Ivins. So got a credit from him, but he thinks that Kai Bates is this year's Jakeem Jackson, who's maybe, you know, again, in that 88 range, I think he's at now, but could eventually ascend into that top 247 and have a lot of big time programs coming after him. Miami's definitely in the mix there as well. And he does hope to, again, get down to Miami this spring. He said he has a great relationship with Coach Dye, and that, you know, he was cool with Kevin Steele too before he left to Alabama. So Miami is in there. Did offer in January, I believe. So definitely Miami's in the mix there.
And that's Kai with a C. So I got 2 more guys. Who do you want to go with, though?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we can. I mean, I'll stick in with the defensive back since we're just there already. I'm gonna go with Ricky Knight, the third. He's out of Palm Beach Benjamin, a school that produced one of my favorite class of 2023 prospects, at Micah Mays. Everyone was kind of late to the party there. He ends up signing with Wake Forest. I don't think Miami's trying to make that mistake 2 years in a row. And Ricky Knight is defensive back with some good size. Bad podcasting, but I have to look up his height weight now. But that, you know, they've really prioritized at this stage of the process. 6 foot, 168 pounds. He left with the cornerback MVP honors. I thought that was very well deserved. I think in coverage, he definitely kind of, you know, broke out.
Have a pick.
Yeah, you know, he definitely showed out in coverage. Again, I think he's another converted wide receiver too, or he was a two-way guy who's now playing full-time cornerback. It seems like Miami and Florida State are kind of battling it out there. I think there's some other schools, Illinois, Wake Forest, who are in the mix as well. But I do think that this could end up being one of those, you know, tight Florida State Miami battles down the stretch.
I will go with, for my next guy, LJ McCray out of Daytona Mainland.
Yeah, he's on my list too.
Okay, good. So we got some overlap. Just a big frame guy. 6'5", 255, long arms. I could see, now he's got a ways to go in this regard, but Daryl Jackson was not what Daryl Jackson is today when he was, you know, coming out of his junior year at high school. I could see him filling out and growing into being a Daryl Jackson type of defensive lineman. Just a long guy that can corral things from a run defending standpoint. You know, he's not twitched up. If he was twitched up, he would be a top 10 player in the country. Yeah. But he's a guy that can hold the point of attack and control things on the line of scrimmage, especially as a run stopper. So big frame and impressive looking prospect out of Daytona Mainland.
Yeah, I think right when we kind of got out of the car, David, I think he was one of the first kids that we saw. I had never seen him in person, but it's like one of those guys that makes you stop and go like, you know, who in the world is that? Like, this kid's massive. So definitely, you know, passed the eye test. Again, I don't think, like, I would agree, not super twitched up. Definitely, you know, I think he still has a ways to go. I don't hate the Daryl Jackson comp either, because I mean, if you look at some of Daryl Jackson's high school pictures, I would say McCray's probably even a little bit bigger than Daryl Jackson was. And Daryl Jackson filled into being quite, you know, kind of freaky. So again, I think he has plenty of room to grow and develop and, you know, get wider, get thicker. But he could end, I think, you know, down the line, he could end up being a pretty nice, you know, interior type of defensive lineman if he, you know, bulks up a little bit. And again, someone that, you know, could have that, a little bit of that versatility too. So LJ McCray is definitely one of those guys that stood out.
What are the early recruiting vibes on him?
Yeah, no, I mean, again, Miami's one of those schools that, you know, they are pushing for him. He said that, you know, if he wasn't coming and doing this camp this weekend, he was actually going to go down to Miami. So, for this big junior day, just decided to go to the camp and, you know, maybe not like stack a whole weekend, you know, for himself, and that can definitely be a lot. He said he wants to get down to Miami. He mentioned Florida State as a school doing a really good job recruiting him. I think he mentioned Auburn as well as another. A couple of the in-state schools, schools in the Southeast, I definitely think are gonna or are taking notice of McCray. And again, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a few more schools ended up knocking down his door. I think he said that Mario Cristobal landed a chopper at his high school this spring to go see McCray and then his teammate Xavier Mincy, who we talked about earlier. So two dudes on that Mainland defense that Miami's going after.
And then I think we each got one more guy. So you take it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Mackay Danzy, kind of. You know, I mean, came in, you know, super intrigued by him. I mean, you see the 10.6 100 meter speed. He's a running back Miami offered. David, I think we can both agree that, you know, did it maybe did look a little bit awkward at times. You know, definitely maybe not like that prototypical running back, but I think that, you know, he did kind of put that speed on display when he was kind of running with these linebackers. I mean, he definitely can turn on those jets. I think he has a, you know, kind of a ways to go and develop, but I think, you know, the traits that he does have, what he does do really, really well is run. And I think Miami has to get a lot faster. You know, you obviously, you add Christopher Johnson. If you're going to maybe going to go take a couple running backs, I think Micah Danzy or Mekhi Danzy is someone who possesses those, you know, that one elite trait. And again, I think if you can kind of refine him a little bit, if you can kind of get him into your system and, you know, teach him how to maybe be more of a natural ball carrier and all those types of things, I do think he has potential down the line to be a good one. And, you know, you look at the junior stuff, I mean, went for over 1,800 yards for Florida State University. High, I guess that's what you call it, Florida State High. A team that I think they played for a state championship. And again, he had pretty ridiculous numbers. So I think Micah Danzy has some fun traits. And it was a light running back group that was there performing. And, you know, I do think Danzy, you know, again, from a Miami scope is, you know, I could see why they're rolling a dice on someone like that.
My last guy, I will go with a random. I don't know if he even has a profile at this point, but 2025 linebacker Elijah Melendez.
That's your boy.
He caught our eye, doing pretty well in coverage, looks the part.
Definitely.
Kind of a rocked up 6'1.5", 215 linebacker. I went and watched his huddle, and it's also pretty good. He plays some running back for Osceola. And
which is a really good program that, like, you know, annually produces, you know, Power Five talent.
And he makes plays at linebacker too. So I think he's just a guy to put out there, 2025 guy. That was an impressive looking linebacker.
Two 2025s for you, David.
That's what we were dealing with out there. You
know? It was.
Money can be the root of all evil when you don't understand it. A couple of bad decisions shouldn't continue to affect us years later, and the path to recovery shouldn't be as painful as the regret. Everyone at some point needs help with their financial situation, and Pride Financial can lend that helping hand. Pride Financial offers a patient and judgment-free environment and will provide you with the knowledge and power you need to realize your dreams. Once they identify your goals, they will guide you to the finish line, holding your hand every step of the way.
Repairing and building credit is only the first step. They'll educate you on a variety of banking and financial institutions, what resources they offer, and how to maximize funding for your financial needs. Gain access to a vast network of realtors and licensed dealers to receive outstanding deals on prime real estate and the newest vehicles to fit your lifestyle. They even offer education and services to assist those more involved on the business side of things.
Text 305-393-7698 or email globalchoice_consulting@yahoo.com to book a free consultation with Pride Financial. And let's take pride in our finances. Are you a business owner or manager in need of seasonal or temporary staff? Let the folks at LT Pro Enterprises assist. The folks at LT Pro Enterprises can help you find laborers for your business in the state of Florida with an expanding footprint to other states as well. Reach out to Lionel Torres at torreslionel1@gmail.com. LT Pro Enterprises, your source for all of your staffing and labor needs. All right. From a recruiting buzz standpoint, there was also big timers that yep. was out the at the camp that did not participate, but they were there and you had a chance to talk to them. And let's not bury the lead. Jeremiah Smith was one of them.
Yep.
The number one receiver in the country out of Chaminade Madonna High School. Tell us about the conversation you had with him. What did you learn from that conversation?
Yeah, you know, it does seem like Jeremiah Smith is still doing his homework, committed to Ohio State, but, you know, spent the weekend at Florida State. I expect him to get down to Miami at some point this spring. You know, he's had some great initial conversations with Kevin Beard, who we learned, David, and I know you had this this kind of feeling that Kevin Beard coached on that South Florida Express squad, that Geno Smith, his older cousin, was the quarterback of back in the day. And that's exactly right, that, you know, Beard and Geno Smith do have that connection. And then Shannon Dawson also coached Geno Smith. So it seems like, again, a couple guys on Miami staff that at least, you know, the family in general is familiar with. I think that's something that Jeremiah is taking into account. And I do think that, you know, he plans on giving Miami a real look. You know, he said he expects the receivers to be better. He expects the offense to be better, and that, you know, he, you know, Shannon Dawson's telling him to just, you know, come on down, and that, you know, he thinks that he's going to, you know, like what he sees at Miami this year. And, you know, it's going to be a lot different than what it was, you know, in this, you know, forgettable 2022 season. So I do think Jeremiah Smith's going to, you know, give the local program a look, man. I think that's all you can ask for at this stage of the process with an uncommitted guy. I asked them, you know, what's it going to take for Miami? Like, what do you need to see from them? And really, I mean, as expected, David, you know, these guys got to win. These guys got to win on Saturdays. And I think if, you know, he likes what he sees here in the spring and it leads to, you know, a promising on the field product, I do think that Jeremiah Smith, you know, could give Miami, you know, a seriously hard look, you know, wire to wire, you know, down to December when it's time to put pen to paper here in what, like 10 months?
Yeah. And I think, you know, he's committed to Ohio State. So, of course, they're the leader. But like you're kind of saying, I do think he's looking around. He visited Florida State over the weekend, right? And I do think FSU is in there as well. I think he's looking at them. I think I would probably put Georgia in that same group as well. Yeah. So he's looking around, and Miami's going to be one of those schools. And like you said, you know, to get a guy like Jeremiah Smith, you got to prove that you're going to be willing to give him opportunities to make plays on the field. And Miami made some offensive staff changes. And we'll see if those changes can convince players like Jeremiah Smith to be a Hurricane. How about other guy? Were any other interesting conversations you had? Because Chance Robinson was there, the St. Thomas wide receiver, JoJo Trader, Jeremiah Smith's teammate. Anything else noteworthy?
Yeah, I mean, just to highlight Chance Robinson, another receiver, and we know how, you know, important those outside receivers are this cycle. Chance Robinson, you know, said his conversations with Kevin Beard are different than every other college coach, and said Roger Harriet kind of pulled him aside, the head coach at St. Thomas Aquinas, where he plays, pulled him aside and, you know, kind of told him how great of a guy Kevin Beard is. You know, Chance Robinson mentioned how Beard signed Joshua Palmer, you know, got him to Tennessee when he was, you know, there for one season before he went to Toledo. He got Sam Bruce out of St. Thomas Aquinas to Miami, you know, back in the day. And, you know, all that stuff means a lot to him.
Coached under Harriet, too, at university school.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that, again, I think Kevin Beard has legit connections down there. And, you know, Roger Harriet is definitely someone that you want in your corner. And he definitely seems to have that that stamp of approval, which is always big, especially at a place like St. Thomas Aquinas and in Broward County. Again, it seems like Chance Robinson also looked up, you know, what he did with those Toledo wide receivers. And I think he saw a lot of impressive things and, you know, the numbers that some of those guys put up in that Jason Kendall offense. So, you know, I do think that, you know, he said he was itching to get back to campus, itching to watch a practice, all those different types of things. So it does, if there's one prospect that I think, you know, I think that Kevin Beard hire maybe move the needle, it might be Chance Robinson, because he does seem to be as interested as I've ever heard him be in Miami, which would, you know, I think we both would agree would be a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Any other recruiting buzz? It could be guys that perform that we didn't touch on. Anything else notable that you think is worth bringing to the podcast here?
Yeah, I mean, Zaquan, I mean, we just go like quick hitter. You know, I think Zaquan Patterson, you know, likes Lance Guidry. They've talked a few times. You know, I expect him to get back down to campus at some point. I think maybe a running back name that we haven't talked about a lot, Stacy Gage. He's someone that spent his sophomore season at IMG Academy, had a fantastic year behind a really good offensive line, junior season at Tampa Wharton, had a great season there. He's at St. Thomas Aquinas now also. He says he has a great relationship with Tim Harris Jr. And that, you know, Miami's definitely a school that has a seat at the table in his recruitment. So I think that that's pretty notable. You know, I think the rest of the guys we kind of touched on again, Jason Zandamala, we talked about that. Josiah Trader, man, a few words. But again, he has the stamp of approval for Kevin Beard as well. Plans to get down to campus as well. So I think, getting JoJo Trader back down to Miami, of course, would be a great next step in that recruitment, especially after he visited Florida State. So I think overall, you know, again, positive recruiting news coming from some of Miami's top targets, both at Junior Day and, coming out of Orlando. So again, I think, there's laying that foundation for another strong recruiting cycle. And again, that's the way that we should anticipate it being under Mario Cristobal.
All right. Good stuff, Gabby. We'll get out of here on that. Again, spring football returns Tuesday and Thursday in terms of practices for the Miami Hurricanes. And I'm sure there will be prospects rolling through all week as well. So check out the website, InsideTheU.com, for the latest there. And appreciate everyone for listening as always. Appreciate our sponsors for their support. And until next time, take care.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.